This is the official podcast of IntoTheDark.com. That's into-the-dark.com. And we do independent and mainstream horror news and reviews. And tonight, we're talking about werewolves.
Hello, I'm Leah Taylor.
I'm Marv Blavelt.
I'm Scott Shermer.
I'm Dave Pruitt.
I'm Crazy Fucking Kirk.
And I'm Arthur Culliver.
My favorite werewolf movie is Hammer's The Curse of the Werewolf from 1961. I think it's a very epic film. There's a lot of psychological things going on. And it's, you know, a gothic piece, very beautifully shot. And Oliver Reed's amazing in that film. So that's my favorite.
I, first of all, I think, well, Curse of the Werewolf, it looks more like a pig, so you should call it Curse of the Werepig.
Okay.
But we can talk about that later. My favorite would have to be, and I'm sorry, I'm going to steal from somebody, because American Werewolf in London, 1982. Yay! That is the best, because it's the one that explores the horror, the psychological horror of turning into a werewolf more than any other that I've seen. Plus, it's got some awesome dark humor and the best werewolf effects done to date. So it's got it all going on. That's by leaps and bounds my favorite one.
Mine is also American Werewolf in London. However, I would tie that with Dog Soldiers, because it's kind of more of a maybe like a modern spin on the whole werewolf thing, and those werewolves are badass. So
yeah, they were.
I'll also tie my favorites are an American Werewolf in London and Ginger Snaps. And the reason why I like those two so much is because they both explore the notion of having a pair of people who are very close to each other and having one of them change and the other person having to deal with that person growing away from them and growing into something monstrous. And I really like that aspect of exploring the psychology of lycanthropy, because I think in a lot of films like The Wolfman and things, the main character who becomes a werewolf is just sort of a lone guy who has to deal with himself going nuts. We don't really see a lot of his close relationships dealt with at all. So I dig those two films because they look at that, and I think that lends a lot of emotional depth to the exploration of lycanthropy in cinema, and I like that aspect of it a lot. And of course, like Scott said, American Werewolf in London has the best werewolf effects, some of the best special effects in any film, so that also I enjoy.
Well, probably I'm going to have to agree on American Werewolf in London. However, I'm going to cast in my vote as well for Ginger Snaps 2, the second one, because it deals a lot with some other unusual aspects of not just werewolves, but of being a monster in general.
Anyway, I don't know. You guys all said a lot of great shit. Good for you.
There was one left out.
The Howling.
Yes.
I know, that was the only one that wasn't picked, so I guess it's my favorite. Yeah.
There's no shame in that movie, though. That movie is awesome. So
yeah. The comedy in that film is so good. You know, Dee Wallace Stone, hey, mommy, the news lady's turning into a werewolf. You know, that's a classic.
It's a werekitty.
Yeah, end. You're right.
She wore so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. I would say that's a big complaint about that, but you don't see a whole lot of really cute werewolves like that.
I don't want to see them.
Yeah, I know, but man, the thing is, she was so cute as a person.
Yeah, Dee Wallace Stone's
going to be a cute werewolf. She's not going to be a crazy psycho-looking
There's
werewolf.
Another big one that no one mentioned either, I think.
What's that?
Silver Bullet.
Yes!
Yeah, Silver Bullet, yes.
Well, I think Gary Busey's a crazy motherfucker. Well, see, he should have been the werewolf.
The effects aren't so good in that movie, which goes to show that you don't have to have the best effects to make a really good werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the only ones I can think of that's also a coming-of-age story.
Right.
So that was a good bend.
And wasn't it Corey Haim?
Yeah, Corey Haim's it.
Corey Haim, that's right.
And that's really what Stephen King excels at, is like coming-of-age stories. And
yeah.
Yep. So, it's a good one.
Well, and I also love that dream sequence with the minister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he goes in and they're all turning into werewolves during the ceremony, or during the church service.
That's actually where
the best effects are in that scene in that movie.
I remember the guy playing the organ and turning into the werewolf. His hands are going up and down, really, like turning into claws.
It's actually
very frightening.
Yeah,
that's
very frightening.
I agree.
So why do we all like werewolf movies? Who wants to go first? Or what do you look for in a werewolf movie?
I think Marv should go first because Marv actually runs a production company called Muscle Wolf Productions.
And they're big fans of werewolves.
And they're big fans of werewolves. And I'm interested to know why you're called that and why you associate yourselves so much with werewolves.
Yeah, Marv, why do you have such a big hairy hard-on for werewolves?
It's only hairy on the full moon, the hard-on, that is. So,
I don't think that you guys could hear the eye roll that I just did. Back to Marv.
Well, I think with like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing, it's the duality of good versus evil. Everybody has an animalistic side, and God knows you've seen mine. I think that everybody that, you know, has that rage in them, and whether it's werewolves or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or even like the Hulk, you know, you let that animal out and it's out of control. And I think that's an interesting concept, that we all have that dark side. One thing I don't like about certain werewolf films is I want to see a werewolf film where the guy or the woman or whoever loves being a werewolf, that they dig it. It's like cool to them. It's like the top of the food chain. They love being a predator. I don't like the ones that sulk around. Oh, it's so terrible. Give me a fucking break. You're a fucking werewolf, dude.
Did you ever see the episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer where Oz meets the girl who loves being a werewolf?
She loves being a werewolf, yeah. Well, they have that on, if you guys watch Being Human right now, which is a great show, they've introduced two twins that are not, they're full-blooded werewolves. They were born as werewolves, and they love being werewolves. They would rather be wolves than people. So I think there's something to be said for, I think I'd like to see a movie where we see a werewolf who just digs it, who just loves being a werewolf.
Well, get on that, Marv.
We actually are talking about something like that, yeah. I'd like to see like an American Psycho movie with a werewolf instead of a serial killer. Well, and another thing too is, and we were just talking, we have the Wolfman on. We came in and Dave has the Wolfman on, the original Universal film. From what I understand, the Full Moon, Silver Bullets, all that was Hollywood. That was them putting rules on the folklore. But you know, there's always been shapeshifters in every mythology going all the way through time. I'd like to see a movie where somebody turns into a wolf because of hunger or sexual aggression or something like that. I think that would be when the animal would come out, or anger or something, you know.
Mythology changes over time.
Yeah.
For me, werewolf movies, there's two things. One is this mutation that happens that's against your will that you have no control over, I think is really scary. I think it's one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of The Fly.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really creepy too. The other thing is I've always been a kind of a special effects buff, you know, and I don't think it's hard for me to think of an example where the special effects have progressed so much from, you know, kind of like the original Wolfman films, you know, to the kind of stuff you see now. That's why I love American Werewolf in London, because that transformation that takes place, I saw that when I was a kid, just blew me away. Left a huge, I mean, even today, that movie's, how old is that movie? It came out in
82 or 81 or something.
Yeah, and
I saw it in high school.
Those effects, nothing has diminished in that 25 years span
of
time.
Now werewolves are like they are in the Underworld films, and they're pretty much garbage.
I don't want to see a CGI werewolf.
No, not at all.
I say that, you know, when I watched Underworld 2, and I do like Underworld 2, I thought that it was a very violent film, and I really liked that there weren't human characters in it because of the type of film it was. And I didn't appreciate the transformation so much, but I did appreciate being able to, you know, have them jump around and rip their jaws open and the big fights that they had, and it was terribly violent, but it doesn't match up to the
Underworld. I don't know which one it was, but there was no pain. There wasn't any performance in the werewolf transformations. It was just all very mechanical.
Very smooth.
It was very smooth.
It was something they had a lot of, you know, control over to that extent. They would just boom, wolf out, and then, you know.
Quick.
The thing about Werewolf of London in London is because that actor brought a lot. I mean, the effects were good. Rick Baker, right?
Rick Baker did a good job.
But David.
Yeah, David Naughton.
His performance in that big prolonged sequence, that's what sells it, is that it should be a painful thing. And
right.
And you said you're interested in making a werewolf movie where they like being a werewolf, but it seems like that would be a novelty spin on the genre, because what I love most about werewolf movies is, like what Dave said, it's a horrible thing that you can't control happening. Mm-hmm. But I'll go one step further, and that is erotic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows it's an erection metaphor.
Yeah.
And as horrible and painful as it is to turn into a werewolf, it's also just like getting a boner. And it's like, oh my God, you can't help getting right. it. You'll get it on the school bus. You'll get it when you take a test. You'll get it when the wind blows. You can't help it. It's going to happen. That's awesome. But it's kind of like being a werewolf. You can't stop it. But once you are, it's kind of awesome. Yeah. You can run around the woods and slash people and do all that kind of shit. Tap into your primal self.
Well, do you guys remember the sex scene in The Howling where they're changing and they're just going at it? I mean, that is just an amazing scene, you know.
It's totally letting go, and letting go while it's so freeing is so terrifying, and the werewolf just encapsulates that. Well,
and then that's why I think it would be cool to see a character who loves it. I mean, maybe
I think that already happened.
I think in Twilight, I think the werewolves in Twilight like being werewolves, you know.
We're not going to talk about Twilight.
We're going to have to at some point. I mean,
that's
the big dog in the room.
I would argue that, in fact, that has sort of already been done a little bit, and I'm going to use a different example, Dave.
Not Twilight?
No, in Trick or Treat, when the women strip off their human skin, and there's awesome fur underneath, and I love that scene a lot.
It's definitely a different spin on how the lycanthropes themselves feel about being that way.
Yeah, because they run in a pack, and they love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do love it. But they actually shed it at a point when it's erotic on purpose.
Right.
Tricking other people into, you know, being their victims by their human selves. And then usually people try to avoid it and then don't want to become werewolves and then do become werewolves and murder people against their will. And that they know they're werewolves on the inside and are hiding it and are knowingly luring people in to be attacked by what they really are.
And I really liked the device that they used. I mean, the whole thing was sort of a euphemism for a young girl losing her virginity. Uh-huh. And I thought that was a really interesting take on it.
Right. Both sex and violence, when you are experiencing these things, put you in a state of being that is very different from your everyday waking life, you know. You go into a state of high excitement, whether you are in a fight or you're horny or whatever, it creates this sort of tunnel vision that nothing else really matters. You know, when you're in a violent situation, you have that sort of fight or flight thing that you're stuck in. And it is exciting. When you are in a sexual situation, until it's over or until the moment of orgasm, you know, you're in this state of super excitement. I think that it's very easy to tie those things together, to tie the nature of the werewolf, the sort of overbearing beast that not only, you know, we might think of, like, say, a woman being overtaken by this larger beast sort of character, but at the same time it's the man, you know, in the case of like a male werewolf, who is being overtaken by this thing as well, you know, in the same way with a female werewolf, you know, she's being overtaken by this. I really liked in Ginger Snaps how she was hiding her tail, how it was kind of like an erection metaphor.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty well across the board. I mean, even when you talk about shape-shifting in terms of rituals or other cultures that have like shape-shifting spells and things that they do, they talk about going into that animal state, being that animal, more so than physically transforming. It's becoming that spiritually and relating on that level.
Well, probably the biggest sexual, or the most, I think, sexually influenced shape-shifting movie is what we talked about the other day, is Cat People.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, Cat People. Cat People is all, you know, the 80s one with Natasha Kinski and Malcolm McDowell. I mean, that whole movie is about her turning into a panther if she doesn't have sex with her someone in her same species, and then has to kill and eat a human to turn back into her human form. That's a kinky move. That's an erotic movie.
Yeah, that's tied directly to the orgasm because yeah. I was wondering while you were talking there, what if there was a werewolf movie where they didn't, it wasn't by the moon, but by their sexual impulses spurring the transformation, right. And then they only transformed back
when they
after satiating their bloodlust.
Yeah, I like that idea. Well, and that's what we that basically did with Cat People.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Yeah, my 15-year-old self loved that movie.
At that time was just she's yes, still sir. Yeah she's beautiful now still but man remember how gorgeous she was.
My dad would be like, why have you rented that like 18 times?
And you asked him, have you watched it?
I thought about why I liked werewolves, and it's the same reason that I also liked Splash with yeah. Daryl Hannah, because that's also a movie about someone who couldn't help
what they were.
What happened to her yeah. when she got wet.
Yep.
And I must have been 10 or 11 when that movie came out, but there is something about Splash, an obnoxious Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah movie, that stuck with me for so long because I hadn't seen a whole lot of werewolf movies, I don't think. I probably hadn't seen... I may not have seen any werewolf movies at that point, honestly. And there was something about Splash and the fact that something was happening to her body that she couldn't help wow. that kind of haunted me for a while. So yeah. I always, Splash is on the same level as werewolf movies for me.
I loved that movie. I loved that movie. And it still is
yeah,
the...
Yeah, we're horror, but we love Splash.
That... Daryl Hannah's naked ass and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there are so many things to love about that movie. And one of them, once again, which is one of the same reasons why we like American Werewolf in London so much, it's the best mermaid transformation
ever.
Ever. Yeah. It's the best
so far,
mermaid
yeah. tail. Yeah.
That tail is amazing. Yeah. It's beautiful. You know, and the coloring that they did on it and all of that, you know. So, but what I... think is interesting about that, Scott, is that she needed to transform. You know what I mean? It was a relaxing thing for her. She had to get into the bath of salt water
yeah,
and
right.
unfurl, you know. So yeah. I think, again, that's very sexy.
I think the scene that stuck with me is she was in the tub
yeah.
and she was relaxing, but then Tom Hanks or someone was trying to get in the room and it freaked her because she was in that state and she couldn't just pop back. And into an acceptable form, and she was just horrified of being discovered.
Very much like masturbation.
Very much like masturbation. Very much like the boners that call you out. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Yeah.
Don't look at me right now, you guys.
I don't like the Wolfman.
The original?
I mean, I kind of like the film. I don't like Wolfmen. You know what I mean?
It
seems
be...
different than werewolves.
Yeah, I guess.
I would agree that it is different than werewolves. I mean, they still have a very similar thing. I mean, obviously there's still, you know, the whole wolf aspect involved,
right.
But one is becoming a complete animal and the other is
a hairy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an ape aspect
yeah.
to it, you know.
Yeah.
The werewolf of my dreams actually isn't even like the American Werewolf in London, because that's too dog-like.
Wait.
The dog soldiers
are the best.
And
I
even
agree.
The underworld designs,
yeah.
those are my favorite kind.
Funny thing, Rick
Lumber.
Baker,
yeah,
when he was designing, and you guys probably know this, when he was designing the werewolf and werewolf of London, American Werewolf in London, he was looking at he had a dog that was a Keyshound. And if you look at a Keyshound and you look at the head of that, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. Keyshound's like a smaller Malamute or something, you know.
And I think it's a cool tale that, Rick Baker and Rob Bottin were friends at the time.
Yes.
And, he was coming up with all of these very cool, change-o heads and pneumatic systems and things for the American Werewolf in London. And Rob, at the same time, was working on The Howling. Mm-hmm. And so Rick was letting him in on some of the secrets, but
right.
not all of them. And so that's why a lot of the things, you'll see some similar sort of, big bladder movements and changing things, but that's why The Howling doesn't quite match up to,
right. Rob's younger, less experienced.
Less experienced and, you know.
But Robert Picardo's transformation is still pretty impressive.
It's great!
Yeah.
It's great! And I love The Howling very, very, very much.
I like The Howling. I love London.
Yeah, I agree. London is better.
I'll die. I'm convinced I will die, and I'll never see a better werewolf film.
You may be right. Yeah. I don't see anything on the horizon.